What is happening? Welcome to the Plus Pitch Podcast, your morning pitching podcast from PitcherList.com. My name is Nick Pollock. Today is April 1st, and yes, we are going to talk about baseball. Did you enjoy Justin Paredes' SP Roundup? I certainly did. I hope you enjoyed my graphic that I did for his Wit Locked In. I, of course, wrote the normal roundup, too, for Brady Singer, Brady Slinger. It's April Fool's. We also have the Plaid Cast appearing with Justin Mason and Daniel Salinger. Obviously not real, but that's a really, really fun game. Fun one there. But Brady Singer, he had an amazing game. 7 innings, 0 runs, 3 hits, 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Golden goal, 19 whiffs, co-share of that Gallows Bowl. And a 39% CSW, which is, of course, the King Cole to be that golden goal. I just got to mention, this is not going to last, probably. There was talk of the sinker being both a four-seamer and a sinker. That is split up. That Savant didn't do that. The four-seamer was to lefties. It's fine. He does have a generally flat attack angle. I don't really think that Brady Singer's four-seamer is that great. It's a very, very low IVB. Solid extension. Maybe that does become a much better pitch for him. If he's able to actually utilize four-seamers a ton and make that a really big high-lock pitch and that is high location and all of that. But really what I saw yesterday was a slider go 16 whiffs and then his sinker go, or really all fastballs, 12 called strikes. That is the mentality for Singer. It has always been that way. I don't really see enough different here for me to say like, oh, cool, now we need to get him in all our leagues. It's just not that great. It's a bad offense, too, for the Twins. And when it comes to the next start for Brady Singer, it is against the White Sox, which I'm fine with. Okay, you can go for that. But just don't feel like this is, oh my gosh, everything is so new for Brady Singer. He's going to be amazing now. I don't know if I buy that at all. Looking at other games, we have Paulie Punchouts doing 0 runs in 7 innings. That's nice for him, but we don't buy that. Jack Flaherty had really good low sliders against the White Sox. He had a successful game of 7 Ks and 1 run in 6 innings. We're a fan, but the low slider was it. There's the four-seamers weren't very good. There's nothing else in secondary, so he just really spotted that slider. And that is a little bit hesitant, or it really makes me a little bit skeptical, I should say, of Flaherty being amazing throughout the year. Like, this isn't just, oh man, Flaherty's now dope and going to be like this for the full season. I'm down to sell high, honestly, because there will be games the slider isn't as good, and he doesn't really have much of a backup plan. He also won't get to face the White Sox every single time. I do believe more in Mize because I think the four-seamer is going to be great today. I'm really excited about that one. And then you have the slider that's good, splitter. There's more options going on for Casey Mize. Brandon Faught did really well, but it was against Rocky Road, and the Rockies look so bad right now. I made a hint, be like, maybe the Rockies aren't so bad early in the season. They are really bad. And 5 innings, 1 run, 5 hits, 0 walks, 6 strikeouts. The 5 changeups aren't enough to pull me out of the thought process of Faught, where he's a good sweeper, and then the 4-seamer is just, it is what it is. It's not really doing anything new. So I think that Brandon Faught is a trap play for people thinking this is going to be an amazing thing through the year. He's still kind of a Toby to me. Took advantage of a bad offense. You have Reed Detmers, and I wrote a long thing about Reed Detmers because I needed to do this. You guys know, I've been a fan of Reed Detmers for ages. Entering 2022, I overspent on him. 2023, I was back in and it looked good and then it wasn't. And I was out. Why? Because Detmers is 4-seamer. Dead zone fastball, right? Bad attack angle, and all he has is a slider that goes in and out, and the changeup I don't believe in, the curveball I don't believe in, etc. Well, I have more data now. I understand fastball shape, and much better. Reed Detmers' fastball, brand new. It was like a 15 and change IVB before, and now it's 18 inches. That is elite. That is what you want. And what did he do yesterday? Oh, I don't know. 12 out of 53 four-seamers were whiffs against the Orioles. Oh, my gosh. Are we doing this again? So, this was a great offense in the Orioles. It was 5 innings, 1 run, 2 hits, 3 walks, 7 Ks. They got the win. 17 whiffs, 34% CSW. That's pretty dang good, right? So, the slider actually wasn't amazing. It was 5 over 35 whiffs actually in all secondaries, so including that slider. He didn't really command that super well. I also look at the four-seamer and see a lot of wasted ones. I want to get in here. I want to feel like Detmers with that four-seamer upstairs, which he generally did command, I think, well last year, and the slider down and glove side always. That two-pitch approach should work. But the changeup, I don't know if I buy into. The curveball, I don't know if I buy into. So I'm still tepid, and he doesn't have a great matchup later this week against Boston. I feel like if you're in 12 teamers, you have, you know, replacements to make. Like AJ Puck, DL Hall, I'm fine replacing them with Detmers. I want to make sure that's so clear that when it comes to Hall and Puck, I like them a lot because they had good matchups early. They had signs from last year that they were what they were as far as the pitch shapes were. Velocity would be coming down, but everything else should stay the same. They should be good as starters, and we have a lot of stuff in the spring, but quick decisions. Both Hall, both Puck, bad attack angles now, or at least much worse, and that makes their fastballs a lot worse, which then means they don't have a good IVB, and they're just reliant either on extension. They're just really just extension guys now, and hopefully getting locations without dominating secondaries. And Detmers, on the other hand, has a much better fastball than those guys, coming in harder, 95, and with IVB, not as flat, but not as much extension, but still, I like that situation more, with a much more devastating breaker in his slider. So I'm okay making the swap. If you want to wait another week to see how Hall and Puck respond, I'm okay with that, but just don't hold on too long. And that's why I favored those guys as I did in my rankings, because we should be able to make quick decisions as opposed to other guys where we're just not going to see anything different, like Brandon Vaught, who, again, it doesn't really feel like it's going to be any different there. Okay, long ramble there, but it's very important. I'm excited about Detmers. I don't quite believe that he's going to be this good yet, but maybe he is. Colin Ray against the Mets, 5 innings of 1 run. I'm glad he survived. It sometimes happens with the Brewers, guys like this with Colin Ray and Adrian Hauser did before. They throw enough fastballs in the zone, they can get away with it. Okay, sometimes. Colin Ray got the cheap win that he might be able to get, and he did because the Mets are the Mets. And that happens. Garrett Whitlock did great. 5 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 0 walks, 8 strikeouts. 7 whiffs, though. A little bit weird, but he's throwing a lot of different pitches effectively, and his extension is back, and that's the biggest thing, really. 2022, he had elite extension over 7 feet. 2023, he was hurt, wasn't able to get out as far because of it. It was low, like 6 and change. He's now back to over 7 feet. That is massive. So if he's doing that, he has a good change of staying low. He's got the good breakers. He's got a slider that's really like a cutter and then the sweeper. And then he's utilizing sinkers correctly. Like the whole thing, Garrett Whitlock is the guy we want him to be right now. I have to mention, just 7 whiffs, 27% CSW. It's not just, oh, now he's going to be great. But this is what we wanted to see in the first start. And he can absolutely showcase that this is a foundation as opposed to just a one-time small sample, right? So good signs for Garrett Whitlock so far. Big fan there. Him versus Houck, it's kind of hard still, but Houck at least gets 2 starts this week against 2 really weak opponents. So either way, like, I'm happy with both. All the Red Sox pitchers, man. Bayo, Pivetta, Houck, Whitlock, Cutter Crawford. I'm a fan of all of them right now. And Houck's the only one who hasn't gotten, and he's going to get the easiest matchups of them all. Oh, so fun. And it's kind of funny. Smolsky and I on the Corner podcast were saying when Giolito got signed, it's like they didn't need to. Giolito might be the worst one of the lot. And unfortunately, he's hurt. It might have actually been fun. Anyway, Kevin Gausman, ace is going to ace. 75, 80 pitches next time, as he threw just under 70 in this one. 6Ks, like, it's great. Tyler McGill, I have a whole ramble about this, and I want to talk about this after this break because I completely blocked out that he left the game with shoulder tenderness and he's getting an MRI, but I do need to talk about what he did yesterday. Going to go over all of that right after this. So Tyler McGill obviously didn't have his best command overall. 4 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 3 walks, 4Ks. But the thing is, he threw a touch harder at 95, 96, not 94, 95. He was 4 inches on IVB up, but really more like 2.5 to 3, but still way better than it was last year. And he's at 7+ feet of extension, throwing harder. And also the location was up. He actually had a good location on his 4-seamers. Oh, and by the way, happened to make his attack angle far better. I mean, we're talking about a bad one that was detrimental to him last year to all of a sudden being a 1.1, which is average, if not slightly above average. That's great. He finally has the 4-seamer upstairs that could actually be what we've wanted him to be. And then he just needs to get changeups and sliders and the American spork down. But then he got hurt. I mean, this is so typical. of Ty Lord. Like, showcasing something early, it's what he did in 2022, and in his first start of the year, and then just some bad thing happening, pulling us away. So you might see like Christian Scott or Dom Vassell appear way sooner than usual, but it's going to be Jose Budo if he's missing time. Look, if they're getting an MRI, they're going to stall in some ways. Not like he gets an MRI and then he's just back next start. I would anticipate it's Jose Budo for at the Cincinnati Reds next, which is Saturday. Yeah, don't want to do that. But that's the state there with Tyler McGill. Sean Armstrong opened for Tyler Alexander, went 5 innings and 5 earned runs, and we don't want to do that for the Rays. Chris Sale looked great against the Phillies, and we're all cool there. 40% sees them in the slider. It's great for hitting 95 miles per hour. I just want his changeup back, though. Can you get your changeup? Cool. Awesome. Steven Matz survived against the Dodgers, and he located well, but that's not going to stick. Eric Fede against the Tigers honestly looked impressive to me as a solid Toby. He's a command guy. He's not throwing as hard as we want. I want to see 94, 95. He was with like 93 and change, a little bit harder than he was with the Nationals, but he has more weapons. It's a cutter going away and a splitter coming down and a sweeper, and he's doing good things with how he attacks batters, and you don't really know what he's going to do each time, and he throws every pitch with a purpose. I totally see why he was so good in the KBO, because he's a command guy who then utilizes outside the zone appropriately. Good movement on the sinker back. Like, Eric Fetty is going to be a Toby. Really cool in quality start leagues. If you're not even in a win league and it's quality starts, like, Eric Fetty is a sleeper for this. Better than Soroka, of course. Jordan Wicks, wow. Speaking of new fastballs, and that's pretty much like the whole thing in the first 4 weeks, or first 4 days. Like, it's not really even about new sliders or new secondaries. It's about new fastballs. Everyone's understanding, like, oh, cool, I need to have a good four-seamer to be good in the majors. And a lot of guys, I imagine, went to Tread or Driveline or really just did their own work to improve on them, because Jordan Wicks has a new one. This was a guy who had a very bad one last year. It was just only a changeup. And instead went from 15 inches of IVB to 18 just over the summer. summer break, right? Winter break. Wow, 19 whiffs overall to earn a gallows pole, 11 of them on the four-seamer. And if you remember, in the spring, we didn't get data, but I saw that he got whiffs on his four-seamer out of nowhere in one of these games. Like, that just doesn't seem right. But there it is. He's got a new one. It's kind of cool. He got kind of hit around because it was the Rangers, and now he gets the Dodgers, and it stinks. And I guess we just wait one more start, but if he has this four-seamer doing this thing again, the changeup is a really good offering for him. That's like the better one. All he needs now is just a cutter slider that he has, one of those, or the curveball, one of those three actually becoming a reliable number three pitch. And then I'm really in on Jordan Wicks. On the other side of the coin for the Cubs, Justin Steele. Yeah, he's out for a bit. He's out until May with a hamstring injury, which is so rough. And then you have Javier Assad and Drew Smiley and Hayden Wesneski in the very short term. You can imagine maybe Ben Brown gets in there. They did call him up, but I think, honestly, he's really more of a reliever. He's really more of a piggyback, I think, for those guys. Cade Horton is the one that might get that opportunity. But Jordan Wicks, not going away if this is what his four-seamer is. Michael King, what is this? 7 walks? What? No. Just rule out this start. It's not what he's going to be. 7 walks, we move on. Tyler Wells, 16 whiffs, 37% CSW. Had a really rough 2 innings where he allowed 4 runs in the first two and then settled down for 4 straight and pretty much nothing allowed. Where it was 6 innings, 3 earned runs, 5 hits, 0 walks and 7 Ks. I should have mentioned 1 unearned run. Yeah, that's really good. He's really doing the pitch separation that we want. And now he's going to get another good matchup against the Pirates, where he hopefully will get the win. He had to go against Detmers, being Detmers. But he gets Bailey Falter and the Pirates next. So I'm in for that. That sounds great to me. And Wells is a very sneaky quality start win guy through this year. JP France against the Yankees, I think actually it's kind of cool. He's throwing lots of cutters. And he got 13 whiffs, but four-seamer is just like over the plate, and don't do that. It's not a good four-seamer. 5.2 innings of 300 runs. 7 base runners, 5 Ks. He will be a decent win chance guy, maybe some more strikeouts, and pay attention to France, but I just don't want 40% four-seamers. Clark Schmidt against the Astros on the other side of his 5.1 innings of 300 runs, 7 hits, 0 walks, 5 Ks. He pretty much just matched each other. Kind of wild, actually. 1 out difference and 1 walk for a hit. I do like Schmidt a little bit more. I think that there is more potential with everything he throws. but he still needs to figure out how to manipulate those cutters a bit more to be more effective against lefties and also really be more filthy against righties, please. Like, take them down. You should be. You have a sinker and a sweeper that should be destroying them, and you're not quite yet. Ryan Feltner against the Diamondbacks. Yeah, he's got a decent flat fastball, but that's never going to work. It's Colorado. Nick Martinez has a good IVB on his four-seamer. Actually added an extra inch in yesterday's game. Saves it for two strikes. He does that right. Meanwhile, changeups are only like 19 thrown, and he didn't have good feel for it, and that's really annoying. So hopefully he finds that changeup and does better with that moving forward. It was against the Nationals here, so he was okay. But I monitored this. There might be some good matchups there for Martinez on the road. Jake Irvin, no, we don't care about this. Don't do this whatsoever. Ranger Suarez against Atlanta survived. 7 strikeouts, 4 base runners in 5 innings, 300 runs. He gets the Nationals next. I feel like that's a good stream for a win there. He was okay on his whole command. Honestly, I've seen better starts from Ranger Suarez. Carlos Carrasco against Oakland. 3 runs in 5 innings. 2 ticks down his fastball. He needs to do better to actually be someone you start. But he's a decent streaming option for, you know, the future. Gavin Stone, not that great, honestly. I wasn't that impressed against the Cardinals as its fastball changeup. Not enough development on the breaking stuff. Fastball is harder. 95-96, which is better than it was last year at 94. The problem, though, is it's not really a good pitch shape. It's okay flat, like it's 1.1, which is like, all right, that means that if you have good IVB or good extension, you can really excel with this. No, under 14 inches of IVB and an average, flat average extension at 6.5. So 95, 96 is good velocity, but it's not going to be a dominating four-seamer in my view. And the changeup is still good, 9 of 35 whiffs, but you need something more here to really be that main guy. So I'm not the biggest Gavin Stone fan. I do like that it is a good situation with the Dodgers, and it is the Cubs next, and that should be fine. But I don't really see this massive breakout season if there isn't anything else really in that arsenal outside of the changeup. Trevor Rogers against the Pirates didn't do well, got squeezed a bit here too, and it didn't go his way. But I do like the fact those 13 whiffs, changeups and sliders were a big part of it. He could go a little bit lower on them, but I actually think that Trevor Rogers pitched decently well. And I am a little bit optimistic here. He does get the Cardinals next. Bryce Miller against the Red Sox. 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 2 walks, 6 Ks. I watched this one, and I gotta say, I found myself becoming more of a believer as I watched it. I've talked about Bryce Miller being a bad command guy, or not really bad, just not being good enough command to really soar. And I think I'm more in, I can believe more that he can, like he can actually pull this off, right? So it's not out of the question that Bryce Miller really soars. And I feel like he will get better as the season goes on. But yeah, this still was an issue of the splitter not getting enough strikes, 55%. He did have some filthy ones. And the slider cutter, which does look good, just isn't wielded good enough or well enough quite yet. And also, when we talk about how good this four-seamer is, it's 95 with a flat attack and good IVB. Not good extension, but being 1.4 flat is good. 17 plus IVB is good. 95 is good. And as long as he throws enough strikes with it, he should be fine. So I'm a fan of Bryce Miller. I want him on my teams. And I'm more of a believer that he will have good command moving forward. Better command than I have expected. So he's like a 3 out of that scale, 1 to 5. It could be closer to a 2 as we go through the year. It's really just about getting those sliders and cutters for strikes against lefties and just overall. John Gray against the Cubs. Yeah, not doing well. 1 for 27 whiffs on the slide piece. And he's also down on his fastball. No, thank you. Dalton Jeffries went against the Padres. No, thanks. We don't want to do that one. Probably just get replaced by Snell next time. Bailey faltered terribly for the Pirates, which is a big deal just because they have a lot of other options. And you might see Skeens come up in like 2 weeks because of Falter being their SP5 right now. And they're looking good. They just swept, I think, the Marlins. So they might get aggressive and push in Skeens there sooner than I would think. So I would say it might be wise to start stashing Paul Skeens. Bailey Falter's looking like this. Yes, they have like Lauer and they have Ortiz and whatnot, but they didn't do that. And with the way that the Pirates just destroyed the Marlins, you might think that the Pirates get aggressive. And lastly, there's Bailey Ober. Oh boy. 1.1 innings, 8 earned runs, 9 hits, 1 walk, and 1 strikeout against the Royals. Allowed 3 home runs. 2 were on changeups, but that weren't the worst changeups ever. And then you have a four seamer that was up and in that was a home run. And I just go, why was his four seamer so bad? Nothing really stood out. Sure, it wasn't the most well commanded upstairs that we've seen from Bailey Ober before, but this generally should be better. And one whiff out of the first 53, like one out of 53 whiffs is just not right. Especially with the changeup and four seamer that he has. So I'm weirded out by this. I feel like there was something strange going on and not actually the skill set of Ober. So I think we just kind of brush it off and we forget about it moving forward. Looking at today and tomorrow's starters, we have Imanaga, Hauk, Morton, Gore, McKenzie. I mean, all of those are the same from yesterday, which, by the way, I apologize. I recorded the podcast. I guess I somehow didn't upload it. I thought I did and everything. I just can't find anything, any sign of that. I just must have spaced out, not done it. So it's the same as it was on the site, though, yesterday. So for the sake of time, I'm going to just give you guys tomorrow's stars as opposed to today's. But yeah, if Hauk is still out there, like, you absolutely need to get that. That is such a good situation for him. Tomorrow's starters, though, are Tyler Glasnow, Luis Castillo, Shane Bieber, Zach Gallen, Jesus Luzardo, Yu Darvish, Brian Bello, and Logan Webb. Those are all very clear to me. Logan Webb, you might be a little hesitant on, but because it's the Dodgers, you still obviously do Logan Webb. In the probable start tier, oh my gosh, guys, Casey Mize can be streamed. And I don't understand how, but he is, and you need to do that. He is obviously the stream pick of the day against the Mets. There's also Reynaldo Lopez against the White Sox. Nestor Cortez, Framber Valdez, Zach Eflin, and Jose Berrios all have tougher matchups than the first two. And so I'm going with the first two because I feel like all of them should be productive pitchers. Lopez against the White Sox is too good of a win chance. Cortez against the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks, I don't know how good they are because they just faced Rocky Road. And those pitchers aren't very good. So I don't really know how to assess them quite yet. Framber Valdez, Eflin, and Berrios, the Jays, Rangers, Astros, respectively. Kind of tougher to assess, but I feel like you just kind of throw them out there this early in the year. And the questionable start here, you have Garrett Crochet, surprising, but it's Atlanta. And I don't know how much we should really put weight into a start against the Tigers to start the year. Also, Crochet being two pitch. I've seen signs of him not being great command and so on and so forth. Be a little careful here. Louis Varland against the Brewers. I'm excited for Louis Varland, but also he's not like Jared Jones. And I don't know how well he is going to settle into the rotation spot. We've seen him not do well last year, even though he should be good. So I want to see a little bit more on paper. And at Milwaukee, he's in the best matchup. Adrian Hauser and Cole Irvin could pull off. Same thing with Taylor Anderson. Wins and quality starts against poor teams. That is the Tigers, Royals, and Marlins. Win chance more so for Cole Irvin. Adrian Hauser, we've seen him just chuck fastballs, whatever. And Taylor Anderson against the Marlins, maybe that works. I don't really like him. Tyler Anderson more so than the other two. And also, Cole Irvin could be better than what we've seen. Keep that in mind that he did get worse as the spring went on with command and velocity, but it could all of a sudden just show back up. We've seen that from guys already in the first start of the year. Graham Ashcraft gets the fills, but maybe there's a chance just cutters, sliders, just fine gloves and whatever. And Kyle Freeland, I'm not going to ignore it. I know Diamondbacks did well against them. A terrible start. It's in Wrigley. It's not in Coors. 3.5 ticks higher. He's commanding better. Like, Freeland still could pull it off against the Cubs. And the do not start here. It's Andrew Heaney, Miles Michaelis, Alex Wood, Alec Marsh, Javier Assad, Jacob Junis, and Spencer Turnbull. I don't want any of this. Maybe Michaelis survives the Padres and Heaney survives the Rays. I just don't think the ceiling is worth it. All right. That is it. Thank you all so much for hanging out and supporting what we do. And consider getting PL Pro lifetime and, of course, monthly or yearly. We have a lot of new tools, including going over yesterday's four-seam fastballs for pitch metrics, my SP Fab forecast, which we're updating again for this week. We're getting to the rhythm of how we want to present it, and I'm going to be giving you guys access to my sit and starts streamer grid, as well as two-star pitcher rankings and, of course, the fab options for Sunday. All right, that is it. My name is Nick Pollock, and may your BABIPs be low and your strikeouts high.